Well, after Father B and Monty and his nice voice, I hope I can live up to what's been preceding me. So anyway, as with anything, I always like to begin with a prayer. And I spent no little time going through the Bible and checking out the concordances and, you know, going online and trying to find a pretty good prayer to start out with. And I kind of came up with a couple, and I'm going to paraphrase them. So, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, Heavenly Father, help. Thank you. Love you. Bless everybody. Amen. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit. That's about as deep as I get, so you're good. So if it appears that I'm reading from pages, I am. I failed speech class in high school. Barely made it through college in those classes, so, but God is good. And for those in the front row, please remind me to breathe, especially if you see me turning blue or any other various colors. So on we go. So if you ever walk through a clothing department of any given store, chances are you will see some type of denim jean for sale, right? And most of those jeans will have some type of descriptive tag on them, most likely to do with the size and the type of fit that they are, right? I was doing just that a while back, going through a store, then noticing a particular stack of jeans and their label that made me reflect on my life briefly. Oh, I'm in trouble. I am not Monty.
Yeah, just if you can talk a little more into the mic, okay? You're not in trouble, I promise.
All right. I won't get into that. So I saw these particular stack of jeans and their label, and it made me reflect on my life briefly and think to myself, but what if it doesn't? What if it just doesn't? You see, most of my life I've been suffering with same-sex attraction, or SSA, or homosexuality, as the world calls it. My earliest conscious thought that I ever recall and have ever had was wanting to be a boy. Well, that's kind of like the segue into my life, eh? So what did that stack of jeans have to do with me and my story? Well, the label of those jeans had the size, of course, and the descriptor tag of straight fit. And my instant thought upon seeing them that day, but what if they don't? What if straight never seemed to fit me, no matter how hard I tried to pull, get a lay on the bed, squeeze, try to yank them up, suck in my breath? No matter how hard I tried, straight just never fit. So I'm going to divvy my life up into chapters for this talk. And the first chapter I'll call the straight fit jeans. I grew up without any faith formation. Mom was Lutheran, Dad was Catholic, and now attends a Lutheran parish. Christmas and Easter for me was all about the presents and the candy. I never really knew the reasons behind those presents from Santa or the candy that the Easter Bunny brought me every year. And while my older sister and my younger brother were baptized, Lutheran and Catholic respectively, I had no baptism in any faith. I had some vague idea of faith as I was growing up, and, you know, because after all, I really did enjoy that Ten Commandment movie and, you know, the greatest story ever told for some reason. All I remember is that I thought I had a great childhood, and with wanting to be a boy, doing all the things that boys did as far as playing went, with no negative consequences that I noticed yet. Playing with girls of my age, with dolls, dress up, and girl things just did not appeal to me whatsoever. I was a tomboy. And in there, there was an extremely shy and introverted child with a great imagination, and you have basically, I think, the recipe for a child who developed gender identity discordance at a very early age. So I was scared to death to let anyone see this thing that was emerging in me and tried to hide even at so young an age. This thing I didn't want was beginning to resent and being embarrassed about. But in the same token, enjoy playing out secretly when I could. So I tried to bury it outwardly, but more and more lived out in my imagination or in my head. Be the superhero, save the world, be the smartest in my class, be popular, but as a male. When puberty hit, things really got turned into a whole new direction. My hormones really started moaning. Sexual awareness, especially towards the opposite sex, and just the plain curiosity of it all, has always been part of our growth as human beings. Mine just got turned upside down and stayed on track to desiring the things that boys would want, which now included girls. It was also at this time that the wrongness of how I was feeling and outwardly acting towards girls of my age I was attracted to for some reason or another was becoming more and more acute. This drove me deeper into my shell and started living more and more in my head. My shyness and introversion went to a whole new level. I was the female Walter Mitty, daydreamer of champions. That's a movie, old and new versions, based on the James Thurber short story of a daydreamer who escapes his anonymous life by disappearing into a world of fantasies filled with heroism, romance, and action. Yeah, that was me. Lived my best life in there. And of course, as I grew more and more aware of my sexuality, I went from being the hero impressing the world to being one who also gets the girl in the end and all the trappings that went with it, living out those desires for women in here. Sometimes it wasn't sexual at all, just dreaming how I wish it could be, being the person I wanted to be and wish I could become. But having a shy, introverted internal personality that couldn't be brave enough to interact in the world was my reality. And the desire, frustration, unsettledness, anger of not having what I think I should have or should have been. Now, I won't get into high school because that itself deserves a whole new talk book, probably a 3-hour movie. Suffice to say, as much as I tried and attempted at times to be a normal female, as indicated by society and my family, those pair of straight jeans just wouldn't fit. But one grace I discovered later in this time of my life and for the next few decades was that the Lord protected me from physical self-harm. Self-harm was never an answer for me, despite how desperate I was. The SSA, horrible shyness, and not really knowing who I was outside of my fantasy life. I had quickly learned to escape there often to avoid life and its trials. I just about lived there 24/7 by then, and plus I was just kind of addicted to breathing. So I still to this day can't remember much of this straight gene chapter in my life and my story, but I think you get the idea, right? All right. So let's move on to the next chapter and my next pair of jeans of my witness here. Now for the good stuff. The part where tossed those straight jeans I was trying to fit into the Salvation Army pile, pun intended. style of jean that I was trying to fit into, put them in that, in, you know, go pass them off, and put me into another pair of jeans. Are you ready for it? Shaping style. there really is a style of gene called shaping. So that's the next phase of my life. So let's see how he used them for me. At my first job as a young adult, there was this young woman co-worker that I befriended. For the first time in my life, was attracted to for some other reason other than sexual, which pretty much defined my waking hours. Can you say young, hypersexual? That was me. So Sue, my co-worker at this first job, is an extremely nice woman. She was also a bit on the heavier side, and she got a lot of teasing from co-workers, and unfortunately myself included. Despite the cruel way we treated her, or she was treated, she remained a peaceful and calm on the outside. Only a couple of times did I ever catch her off guard and upset, but for the majority, peaceful and calm. That was the unconscious attraction for me. I wanted that peace, that calm. Oh, on the outside I looked fine, but as a person who lived inside of herself more often than not, I was a wreck. Too shy, introverted, to act out on my SSA with another to this point, and knowing somewhere, somehow, that these feelings and inclinations just weren't right. But inside my head, no, I was having a ball up there. Full-blown, contact SSA acting out that in my deep-down gut, I never wanted to begin with. So I wanted that peace that she had. I worked up the courage to finally ask her just how she had that peace about her despite the working environment we put her in. Well, let me tell you, that was so out of character for me. I'd rather have a face-to-face with anybody up in my head than to actually bring up something like that with somebody I barely even knew. And frankly, just to avoid rejection in any form. Her answer, when I asked her about that, how she kept her calm, she said, faith, specifically her Catholic faith. And that's what was keeping her sane. Oh, I wanted that, that peace that she had. I was in such an inner turmoil myself. I hadn't had peace since I became aware that my same-sex desires were out of order. Relationships, interactions with people, and even life in general were difficult for me to face. If I remember correctly, she almost right away invited me to attend a mass with her. I accepted. There's another shocker. What did I have to lose? I was desperate, and God just happened to be there, waiting for me in that moment with my next pair of jeans, those shaping jeans. And from the moment I walked through those doors with her for that first mass I ever attended, I felt like I was at home. And that feeling has never, ever, ever left me. Because I was about to meet the homeowner in person. And he was never, ever going to let me be by myself again as he liked and even loved me as I was. I spent many a long night with Sue and her sister at their home, me asking questions, they answering. Not sure how long it was after that I enrolled in RCIA and became dunked, smoked, and accepted into the Catholic faith in March of 1989. And I chose Sue as my sponsor, or my godmama, as I like to call her. I'm not sure, but I think I might have told her about my SSA sometime in our friendship, something I've never done before. And I don't think we went into details, but she still accepted me regardless. That was a shock. In fact, if I remember correctly, on the day of my baptism, my dad and my sister surprised me and showed up at Easter Vigil. Whether for all or part of it, I'm not sure, because it was such a happy blur. And plus, my memory's not too great about that. Not sure, but my sister, I think she attempted to take a picture of me getting splashed. Nobody in my family gave any indication that they were supported my decision to become Catholic, let alone my newfound faith in God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Another surprise was that they threw me a little party that I shared with my nephew's first birthday the next day. I still have those confirmation and baptism cards from family and friends. My first glimpse and some understanding that I wasn't as alone as I thought I was. But I still felt that way due to my SSA. So God put me into those shaping jeans, gave me my initial faith family, including a spiritual director. I was starting to learn about my newfound faith. Well, God really. I was very happy, was involved in a prayer group, the Catholic Charismatic Movement. Charismatic Movement, surrounded by good, prayerful Catholics. And I realized that God had always been with me since day one through the memories and graces that I now recognize. Remember, I like those old faith movies? Yeah. And that the wrongness that I felt about my SSA was correct. It wasn't how he planned my sexuality, not only with my own life, but for all humanity from what I was learning. Discovering Jesus also got me through one of the most terrible times of my life, the sudden and early death of my mom when she was 46. I had moved out on my own shortly after I entered the church with my godmama Sue as a roommate. Remember those shaking jeans? Yeah? Godmama. Living with the one God used to see him in his church for the first time? Yeah. Mom and I had a decent relationship, but it became strained when I became a young adult. We weren't talking much, but things were getting better at the time of her death. I like to think that my newfound faith gave me the ability to attempt and then slowly mend the rift that was through the outward signs that I started to show her, especially the most important to me, kisses before I left to go home. We weren't a very affectionate family. We knew we loved each other, and our love language is joking. But to actually get a hug and a kiss from any, you know, it just wasn't how we grew up. So, it is a memory I treasure to the day of her death, that she was sitting in her chair, and I went to go give her my goodbye kiss, and instead of her just sitting there stoically, all right, go ahead. And that day, she wasn't smoking. She just kind of leaned forward and turned her cheek towards me. So that just absolutely blew me away, and it is a memory that I treasure to this day, because within a couple of hours, she was gone. So, and it also turned out to be a first for her, so. And don't know how my life would have shook out if not for my newfound faith and friends after her death. So for the next decade or three, I felt that God and I were constantly working on our relationship and my inner turmoil concerning my sexuality, my identity. I didn't know who I was. I had built my identity by copying traits I admired in others. Ups and downs for sure, including trying to sex away by having a couple of male boyfriends and sexual experiences with them. Sorry, Lord. That's tried more often than not, hoping that the longing for the same sex will go away by attempting a relationship with the opposite sex. I had friends more than I ever thought I would have, and some good faithful ones at that. And God and I were working on the SSA issue, so I wasn't looking for folks or ministries courage to help me, thank you very much, Catholic or otherwise. But my faith, and more importantly, my trust in him continued to grow. He kept sending people in my life who would help shape me in my prayer life. I even thought I had a vocation to the religious life. Can you believe it? But once again, he kind of just thumped me upside the head and said, oh, really, lock you up with a bunch of women for the rest of your life? No, I don't think so. With what you're struggling with, you know, we got work to do. I'll keep shutting that door. You'll thank me later. Just, you know, go on. See? Those shaping genes, hard at work. But I was still lonely and felt alone. So he then placed two more of his human angels that helped me to see me and increase my faith in one form or another. My spiritual director and my best friend, Marie. The former, who in passing mentioned a ministry church for those who had SSA and helped me form so much of my spiritual life. And the latter, who didn't care if I suffered from SSA. When I worked up the gumption to mention this dark secret of mine, she said, so? And I'm like, oh, just like my godmama Sue said before her. That answer meant so much to me both times. The first friends who looked beyond what I thought defined me. Marie also taught me how to have a deeper prayer life by example, more than any actual helps I read about up to that point. Since I discovered my faith and the Catholic Church, it has been a matter of my heart, not my head. I know the basic tenets of the Catholic faith, but could never quote verses of the Bible or the Catechism. Theology and philosophy. I had to phonetically spell that one. And all the other ologies are beyond me. I wish I could explain myself better, but it is not a gift God gave me. I'll leave it to you guys. I'm content, now that is, to be the one who lives what I believe. And not perfectly, but the effort's there. Those shaping genes started to fit better and better as they got broken in with God's words and teachings. It's about time in this story that I tossed away God's shaping genes I was in to try in another pair that got tossed to me out of the blue. My curiosity, strong will, stubborn, and an opportunity finally got the best of me. The name of the genes I just happened to discover over here and that I up and decided to try on my own, the style, you ready? They were called girlfriend genes. There is such a style, I'm not lying. I got pictures, which I wanted to show, but that's okay. I had the first and only time I ever had sexual relationships with a woman after my conversion. Here I was, doing my best to be a woman for God, reading the daily readings, going to Mass as often as possible, seeing the spiritual director, finally finding a good friend who is also Catholic, and you get the picture. But I still fell. It was short-lived, 6 months or so. I stopped it. I could see that I was risking hell for myself, but I did not want to take her with me. And I felt horrible, mad at myself. I wasn't strong enough yet. Those girlfriend jeans fit worse than a straight pair ever did. They were tight, constricting. They were keeping me from being how God was trying to shape me and into something that wasn't natural. Chastened, I peeled those off, literally breathed a sigh of relief. Heck, was just plain able to breathe, as the shame and embarrassment of what I'd done, of utterly failing God, was so tight and binding. The straight girlfriend and skinny jeans all rolled into one. I kind of looked like a hopping Q-tip, just trying to get through life. So, peeled them off. So I humbly put the shaping pair back on. That was better. Plenty of room for growth, spiritually. See, not the perfect daughter I thought God wanted me to be. I threw those shaping jeans away for a girlfriend pair for a brief minute when I thought I could go at it myself alone. Confident and strong in my faith was I. So humbly back into those shaving jeans and the increased trust of God and not my own will. He soon led me to the second most important event in my life, meeting Sue and my entrance into the Catholic faith being the first, the Courage Apostolate. here's where God, and not I, filled in those important sags and those shaping genes. My spiritual director mentioned this ministry in one of our sessions a few years before the fall that I mentioned earlier. At that time, I thanked her for suggesting courage to me, but I didn't have any intention of looking it up. I think I came across the apostolate, actually, maybe a year or so earlier, when a research paper I was that I was writing for a college creative writing class. I glanced over the website I found in my research, looked at what they were all about, and just kind of poo-pooed it away. As always, God and I were working on my struggles with SSA, and we were doing just fine, thank you very much. Yeah, that worked, the fall. But I was trying, he and I. But the courage seed was planted. It needed more years of watering and perhaps by some of my own tears to finally bear fruit. A couple of years later, after that first mention of courage by my spiritual director, I was back to college to pursue a degree in graphic communications. This time I had to write a research paper and quote the sources I used to support my viewpoint. And gee, when you know it, I ended up on the Courage Apostolate webpage again when I searched for a certain key phrase. What a coincidence. No. So I pulled that quote from the Courage webpage in the search engine that search engine took me to, and it was about to close out of the window when I decided to go to the homepage for some reason. I clicked on the link, and lo and behold, the ministry was having its annual conference soon. I looked at that and heard, "Why not?" in my head. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe it was my heart. I picked up the phone, and I called my spiritual director, and I said, "Hey, you remember that Courage place? Oh, yeah, I know. So they're going to have their conference, and do you think I should go?" "Oh, yeah, no, sure. Yeah, I'll call them, yeah. Soon, right away. Oh, yeah, praise God, praise God, praise God, yeah." I called the Courage office, or maybe I went on the website, and I registered for the conference. Again, let me mention to you that doing something like that was so totally not like me. Good God, I could barely function around anybody, worse in a group, and horrible in a crowd. To go do something that was all about a topic that was shameful to me? No way. To be surrounded by folks of the same ilk? And good grief. Nobody had the same type of quiet SSA, as I called it, that I had. Lived SSA in my imagination and almost never physically. Maybe I wasn't gay enough? Good God, those shaping genes were just about unbearable here. But I went. The first day I mostly kept to myself, head down, trying to let the topics and talk sink in. Most of it flew out over my head, underneath, all around. But there were so many of us there, those of us who suffered from SSA, in the same place, and nothing hinky going on. I was surrounded by people who were trying to cope with SSA, like myself. It was glorious. So many of us looking to our faith, our church, for help. For the first time, I was not alone in with my SSA. So if that wasn't healing enough, how well it gets better. That first night, I had another revelation. At that time, I smoked. Shame. I usually took my smoke breaks by some golf carts that were in the courtyard between my dorm and the educational buildings. I'd go and sit in one of those carts if they were there and start puffing away. That first night, I went out there, and there was another person in one of those carts. "Come here, sit down." She invited me to sit with her, and she was taking a smoke herself. Her name was Connie, I believe, and I began to share my story with her when she asked. After I finished, She exclaimed that her story exactly mirrored mine to a T. To a T, and I was in shock. I'm still in shock. The most extraordinary aspect that we both thought we were the only ones who never lived the gay lifestyle, never openly, and with, other than the one slip on my part, never physically. In my head, I was like, yeah, I'm not the only SSA sufferer in the world. I am not alone. It was very healing to realize that. A few months after the conference, I finally noticed something that was missing in my life that was a major driving force behind one particular aspect of my SSA. I was no longer attracted to women sexually. I just about keeled over. I think I did. I said, holy crap. And I'm like, well, I didn't say crap. I said all kinds of other things, but I was like, oh, wow, sorry. That was a Regina move. Okay, so anyway. So I'm claiming a miracle, and it still is to this day. And now, finally, to the last and current chapter of my story here, the style of Gene he currently has me in. And you have to wait for it. I've been attending the Courage conferences and the Women of Courage retreats as often as I can. God's honest truth, most of the topics and talks I've heard through the years are a fog. Some of them were clear at the time they were given, but hear me loud here. At each and every one, I've come away with a revelation that God chose to work on with me. At first, specifically SSA issues and my gender discordance, and as of a couple of months ago, more deeper issues that have led to my SSA. So to wind up my story here, one more specific, traumatic, knocked me to my knees, hissy fit causing loss, reluctant healing, that I had to endure was the ripping out of my imagination about 6 years ago. Ouch. I've always had that talent in the imagination area, as both sides of my family are artistic in one form or another, which takes great imagination. So I was cursed and blessed with a great one. For 3/4 of my life, I had been escaping to that room in my head, at first to live out my desire to be a boy, then for SSA. Oh, heck. Just to avoid life and its hardships in general. Difficulties that came from not knowing who I was, from being shy, introverted, being confused, being lonely. So God said, yeah, well, time's up. Gotta face your problems, the world now. Your imagination has helped for a bit, but it's gone too far. You found me, I'm here, I'll help, here we go. Boop. Gone. No more daydreaming to escape life. No more daydreaming in bed, just trying to get to sleep and imagining good things that would help me get to sleep. And it was all gone. I had to learn to do that on my own. Oh, no more imagination to go to. Talk about a dark night of the soul. I was feeling lost. Well, it turned out to be a good thing, as usually is with God. I found my big girl pants God tossed to me and put them on. Found out that I could face my problems and not hide from them with him, always with him. And I am discovering at the ripe age of 57 who I really am, who I am in Christ, and what I can do for him, for myself. So you want to know the style of those jeans he tossed to me? And that I wear now? All right. Here it is. They're called Relaxed Fit. Yeah. Do, because I am no longer living in my head. I am comfortable and relaxed with living exactly how God made me, trusting in His perfect will for me, and going with the flow. So, am I healed of my gender identity discordance? Yep. Have I learned that God made me female, and events that were impactful to me growing up were the catalyst for the rejection of my femininity. I wasn't born that way. And for the first time in my life, I am discovering who I really am deep down and being surprised by it all, and mostly, all right, maybe half, okay, maybe a quarter enjoying my feminine side. Am I healed of my SSA? No. I will always carry that cross, or maybe the remembrance of it. As many healings and revelations have decreased the desires for women, especially the sexual healing, I still have issues with attractions to women who have the qualities I wish I had or feel are my shortcomings. But I am looking forward to that healing, as long as it doesn't hurt too much. Have I learned how to live with my SSA? Yeah. This is the most important journey I've been on ever since that first Courage Conference. God, through His Courage Apostolate, started me and keeps me on the right path that He has chosen for me. Once I put my complete trust in Him, He takes me where I need to go and makes me who He wants me to be for Him. That's including accepting my SSA, which I had tried tremendously to deny and outwardly hide most of my life. I am finally okay with who I am in these relaxed fit jeans, review, and exactly the person God intended me to be. I still tend to arm wrestle Him at times, a lot of times, all right, maybe 3/4 times, but I still have plenty of room in these jeans when He sits me down to chill out. Through His Catholic Church, through His Army Militant, and through His Courage Apostolate. Thanks.